Philippine Senators Pangulo Lacson and Vicente Soto III officially launched their presidential and vice presidential bids. Later today, the PDP Laban Cusi faction expected to formally introduce President Rodrigo Duterte as their vice presidential candidate. Government takes back its lifting of the lockdown in Manila. And President Duterte again hits the Senate for probing his administration's allegedly anomalous pandemic deals. Later on in the program, we'll be speaking to Senator Risa Ontiveros and former Health Secretary Esperanza Cabral for their thoughts on this burning issue. And after ravaging Visayas, severe tropical storm Jolina dumps heavy rains on Luzon. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today, topping the midday news. The 2022 race heats up as Philippine Senators Pangulo Lacson and Senate President Vicente Soto III officially launched their campaign for the two highest posts in the country. Katrina Domingo now joins us on the line with details. Kat, go ahead. What else can you tell us?
Fermina, Senators Pangulo Lacson and Vicente Soto III vowing restoration of order and trust in institutions and an end to wrongdoings they say Filipinos have long endured. Now, a spectacle of life, music, and testimonials heralded the presidential and vice presidential candidacies of Lacson and Soto, giving the Philippines a preview to an unprecedented pandemic time campaign. For the record, Fermina, they were the first tandem officially launched their candidacies for the 2022 national election. Now present at the event, taped live and aired across broadcast and online channels, were the two candidates, their families, production staff, and select audience who all tested negative for COVID-19. Soto was first to come out, walking to the stage to the tune of Magkaisa, the iconic people power anthem, which he wrote. Lacson, in the meantime, entered the stage with song that chanted his name as he touted his and Soto's over 80 years of honest, dedicated, and competent public service experience. Lacson also noted that aside from fixing the Philippines' pandemic response, he would also push to give local governments more power and fiscal autonomy should he win the presidency. He says local government units must be given more responsibility in nation building, but also more accountability. Now, Soto says their tandem would be appealing, especially to Filipinos who have been mum about their frustrations with the government. He says they will serve the Filipinos in a manner that will not transgress the law and order, but is based on law and discipline. Now, Carmina, it's also important to note that noticeably absent from the event were Soto's brother, Vic Soto, and their close friend, Zoe De Leon, who joined the Senate president in top billing several movies and entertainment shows in the 80s and the 90s. Soto earlier told reporters that their campaign would center on budget reform and would shun singing and dancing in sorties. Here's the next excerpt of that event.
Marami ang nawalan ng trabaho dahil nagsara ang maraming negosyo. Nadagdagan ang bilang na mahihirap, lalo pang dumami ang mga kumakalam ang sikmura. Talamak ang korupsyon. Laganap pa rin ang ilegal na droga. Unti-unti nawawala ang ilang bahagi ng ating teritoryo sa West Philippine Sea. In his sixth and final State of the Nation address last July 26, President Rodrigo Duterte admitted that he was wrong to think that leading the country is as simple and easy as leading Davao City. Walang debate sa katotohanan. Hindi natin dapat payagan ang maling akala para sa kinabukasan ng ating bansa.
Marami sa atin ay hindi na alam kung kanino na magtitiwala. Kailangan na nating tumugon. Kailangan nating umaksyon. Kailangan na natin magsanib puwersa upang mapigilan at maitama ang mali. Ito na ang simula.
For Marina, Lacson, and Soto are running with the tagline Katapangan, Katapatan, at Kakayahan, an ode to their decades-long experience in public service. So far, no word yet on when exactly they would file their certificate of candidacy before the Commission on Elections, and also we're still waiting for updates on where the tandem would kick off their campaign. Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Our correspondent there, Katrina Domingo, joining us on the line. Take care, Kat. Keep safe. Later this afternoon, it will be the turn of PDP Laban, well, the faction led by Energy Secretary Alfonso Cusi, to reveal its candidates for next year's elections. Among those expected to attend in Pampanga is their vice presidential bet, President Rodrigo Duterte. Sherrianne Torres is monitoring the developments there, and she now joins us for an update. Sherrianne, go ahead.
Yes, Karina, good afternoon. PDP Laban officials just defied their holding of a national convention here amid the pandemic and inclement weather. Party Public Information Chief and DILG Andrew Secretary Jonathan Molaya says all safety protocols are being strictly observed at the event. PDP says includes requiring attendees to undergo antigen tests, aside from their need to present their RT-PCR test results and vaccination cards. All expenses are being shouldered by the party, and the antigen tests are being billed to their members, according to Malaya. The party is supposed to planning to hold its national convention in San Jose del Monte, Bulacan, which is now under MECQ, but it was moved to San Fernando, Pampanga, which is under GCQ. The venue has a 2,500 seating capacity, according to Malaya, and they are expecting some 400 members. The party event will be a hybrid event, or a combination of virtual and physical presence. Some of those members, which number to more than 100,000, cannot be accommodated here at the venue. Minsan Carmina, PDP Laban Pursuing Secretary General Melvin Matidag disclosed that a number of their members who are originally scheduled to attend the event physically had to cancel the last minute. Some were tested COVID positive, others have health issues, according to Matidag. Today's event will be highlighted by the expected formal party endorsement of the Bongo Rodrigo Duterte tandem for the presidential and vice presidential race. An initial list of the party senatorials will also be introduced in today's convention, and they are expecting at least 8 to 9 of their so-called magic 12, according to Matidag. Most of those who will be announced today are cabinet members whose names were already disclosed by the party, and these, Carmina, include DOTR Secretary R. Tugado, M.R. Villar, and WWH, DICT Secretary Gringo Honasan, Presidential Legal Counsel Salvador Panelo, and House Deputy Speaker Rodante Marcoleta. The program was supposed to start at 10 in the morning with the induction of new party members, but it did not push through as scheduled. The National Convention instead will start at 1 in the afternoon and will be highlighted by President Duterte's 3 in the afternoon address to his party members. But even meantime, one party members who will be caught participating in the National Convention to be closed by the PDP Laban Pacquiao win this month. Those who will be caught participating, according to Matibag, will be penalized by the party. So for Carmina, people that we have seen here include Presidential Legal Advisor Panelo, DILG Undersecretary Martin Pino, sees this event as a product of his efforts when he grilled or reneged the certificate of candidacy in 2016 and other local officials. That's it, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Sherrianne Torres, they are joining us on the line. Shet, take care. Keep safe. Well, not to be outdone, the head of the other PDP Laban faction, Senator Manny Pacquiao, held his own press briefing this morning. The fighting senator talked about his vision for the country that includes housing for the poor, jobs creation, and ending corruption. Pacquiao, however, still did not reveal his plans for 2022. He previously said his options are running for president, a re-election bid, or leaving politics altogether. Metro Manila remains under modified enhanced community quarantine. That's after government deferred the pilot testing of Metro Manila's new quarantine system. The MECQ status will stay on until September 15. Government earlier announced the lockdown would be lifted this Wednesday. Makati City Mayor Abby Binay says details of the new COVID-19 alert level system need to be ironed out.
Una, late na sila nag-announce. Pangalawa, ang dami pa rin nalilito dun sa GCQ. GCQ pero alert level 4. Eh di ba MECQ? Siguro mag-isip na ng bagong pangalan.
A doctor from the Okta Research Group, Dr. Guido David, says the COVID-19 task force should have come up with the alert level system much earlier.
Pros and cons yan. As a strategy, mas madali intindin yung level 1, 2, 3, 4. Sana last year pa natin pinatupad yan.
The number of new COVID-19 cases in the Philippines falls below the 20,000 mark. That's for the first time in 5 days. The health department recorded 18,012 infections Tuesday. But the agency notes the relatively lower count is due to fewer samples processed over the weekend. 161 more people died, while nearly 19,000 recovered. The majority of areas in the country are still under alert level 3 for the highest alert level 4. But ABS-CBN's data analytics head Edson Guido sees some encouraging signs.
John 7, nakita natin talagang pababa na yung mga numbers, no? And that's affecting the trend also for the whole Visayas, no? Given na gumaganda nga yung condition sa Central Visayas.
The Okta Research Group asserts its independence as it looks forward to conducting more public opinion polling. Okta Research made a name for itself with its COVID-19 projections, but the group wants to do surveys similar to those done by social weather stations and Pulse Asia as the elections near.
Tugon ng masa, nationwide surveys are non-commissioned. Okay, we do have subscribers who pay for rider questions, but it is, we are not affiliated with any political party. Okay, and neither is any politician funding our group. It's very clear. Now we're a non-stock, non-profit company. We want to be as autonomous and as independent as we can, and that is why we're not open to being basically commandeered, no, or bought by or controlled by one politician or one political party. That is not Okta Research.
Philippine House lawmakers are currently investigating the group on the accuracy of its COVID-19 projections and the source of its funding. The Senate uncovers more details about government's supposedly anomalous pandemic supply deals. During Tuesday's investigation, senators questioned the Budget Department's alleged preference for Farmily Pharmaceuticals Corporation. That's despite a local firm offering cheaper alternatives. Records showed the Budget Department's procurement service bought nearly 13 million face masks from Farmily, which sold the items at 22 to 27 pesos a piece. Local manufacturer EMS was selling the items at just half that price.
Tama ba yung conclusion ko? Nilinggis kayo ng sawa. Napilitan kayo magbaba ng 2 pesos and 35 centavos?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. We delivered 74 million out of the 100 million at 2.35, 2 pesos and 35 centavos.
Just quickly, very quickly, nalugi ba sila o hindi?
In his defense, former Budget Undersecretary Christopher Lau blamed time constraints as the primary reason for procuring from Farmily. But senators, they were unconvinced.
Gaano kalaki yung tama nito sa ating labor sector? Ilan yung mga trabaho dapat na nalikha, nagawa dahil dito kung talagang nagkaroon ng puso ang ating PSDBM at ang ating pamahalaan na tulungan ang ating mga local manufacturer.
When we had a contract with EMS already, we stopped procuring from any entity already except from EMS. So, nag-antay kami sa kanila.
The chairman of the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee, Senator Richard Gordon, says Health Secretary Francisco Duque III may be liable for graft for the allegedly overpriced pandemic supplies. Gordon believes the Health Department's transfer of funds to the procurement service of the Budget Department was a planned plunder.
Even if you were negligent, you're still liable because you caused damage to the Filipino people in such a very bad situation. And all these guys involved, talagang super plunder. He was so negligent, so grossly negligent as to amount to bad faith, or he's deliberately a crook.
Meanwhile, President Rodrigo Duterte again slams the Senate's probe into alleged anomalies in government's pandemic spending. Duterte again accused Senate Blue Ribbon Committee Chairman Richard Gordon of politicizing the issue. The president also claims some senators are preventing the truth from coming out.
I'd like to revisit even kuwa si Aguinaldo. May nakikinig ako sa TV, pinutol. May magandang trabaho ba yan? Tingin mo kasi sa kanila, adversarial. Hindi adversarial yan, iho. Iho di kagang. Alam mo sa aming Bisaya, pag iho di, siyempre, hindi mo naman, iho di kagang. Kagang is crab. Iho di ka. Iho di kagang. Ganun ka. And it's about time that makita rin naman. Ilang witnesses na all these years, Gordon, na dumaan sa inyong pinagsisigawan ninyo. Boboto kaya yan sa inyo ngayong eleksyon? Think about it.
There were several ways fraud was committed in government's deal with Farmally Pharmaceuticals. That's according to a group of researchers and accountants who looked into the financial statements of the controversial firm. The Citizens Budget Tracker says Farmally lacked the documentation to prove its financial capability of carrying out its contracts with the government. It also flagged the firm for possibly undervaluing its taxes.
It could be a flag of underdeclared VAT input. And so this is not an outright accusation that these were underdeclared. But given the size of it, according to our laws, a 30% underdeclaration can be prima facie evidence that this was intentional.
At the start of 2020, before they bagged the first contract of 62 million, they only had cash of 599,000. And as mentioned by former USEC Lau yesterday in the Senate hearing, that there was no advance payment to the companies, meaning that they need to deliver fully the items before they get fully paid. So this is a very curious case because in the financial statements, we didn't see any loans, any long-term liabilities that the company had secured.
The audited financial statements do not inspire confidence that the government entered into a contract that was advantageous to the people. And there are, I think, when you zoom out, the story is actually much larger than Farmally. Very soon, we'll be sharing more analysis coming from our group of the systemic nature of this issue.
For more on the Senate probe into government's pandemic spending, we're now joined by Senator Risa Ontiveros. We're also going to be discussing the over 1 billion peso uncollected debt of Philippine offshore gaming operators. Madam Senator, good afternoon to you and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Carmina. Good afternoon.
All right. So first, I want to talk about two things. You have the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee hearing that happened yesterday.
Yes.
The statements of President Duterte earlier today. So first, I was listening to what you were saying yesterday about, you know, a Filipino company that was actually capable of manufacturing face masks. I believe the amount was, 2 million face masks per day, was it?
Per day. So there was proven capacity.
And yet, the government still chose Farmally. How does that make sense, Senator?
It simply doesn't. Sinabi kahapon ni Mr. Ferrer ng EMS, miyembro sila ng CPMP, the Confederation of Manufacturers of PPEs in the Philippines. There's another group, Carmina, that has been, you know, stepping up since last year, yung CONWEP. This is the Confederation of Wearable Exporters of the Philippines. Sila naman, they were capable of producing 10,000 PPEs per day. And it's very moving, Carmina. Sabi nila sa atin kahapon, they did this not just because it was going to be contracts, it was, hindi lang ito proyekto sa kanila. They used the word duty. They felt it was their duty to step up, repurpose their production lines, and produce these goods needed by their fellow Filipinos. Conscious din sila, kailangan i-preserve yung mga trabaho at hanap buhay ng mga manggagawa nila. So, you know, in the face of all these and the fact that itong mga Pilipinong manufacturer were offering their products repurposed by them on government's request, yung kanilang mga production line, itong mga produkto pasok sa medical grade standards ng DOH at di hamak na mas mura. So they, like all the rest of us, are really wondering bakit halos isang kontrata lang ang nakuha ng isa sa hanay nila. And then they hear, we hear now of Pharmaly continuing to receive these rich contracts from government despite, no, the weird backgrounds of the company, formerly the Fulwin group of companies, and the personalities behind them.
Okay, two things about those revelations in the hearing yesterday. Actually, the president and vaccine chief Carlito Galvez Jr. spent a bit of time defending themselves early this morning. First, the president said the president has the power over procurement, especially during the time of this pandemic. And that's under Senator Ontiveros, that under that same law, that Filipino companies should be favored over other companies, Senator.
Exactly. Hindi pwedeng sabihin ni Presidente yung isang parte lang ng isang batas, tapos magbulag-bulagan siya dun sa ibang parte. We remember very clearly, the Bayanihan laws required government to give preference, first choice, kumbaga, first choice to Filipino manufacturers. At hindi rin naman pwedeng sabihin ni Presidente na absolutely walang legal requirements, even under emergency laws, kahit emergency situations, in terms of procurement. Hindi man ito bidded, negotiated contract ito, but it cannot fly in the face of good practices, not just in the private sector, but especially in government, of checking the background of the companies. May financial capacity ba talaga siya? Bakit ang isang 600,000 pesos lamang na capitalized na maliit na kumpanya? Formerly, such a small company, Carmina. Paano siya nagka-capture ng hindi lang milyon, bilyong pisong halagang kontrata compared to other better capitalized Filipino companies? Plus, ito bang Pharmaly, meron ba talaga siyang track record in that product which we procured from them, PPEs, not to mention face masks, not to mention the mysterious face shields which are not even in DBM's amended list of common use supplies and equipment. So maitatanong, bakit nag-procure ng face shields? So there are still basic principles in procurement na kahit pa emergency situation, kinakailangang i-observe hindi lang ng mga private companies, lalo na ng gobyerno. And the president, as the highest elected official, should know that. Hindi dapat siya yung manguna to thumb his nose at those basic principles and common good practices.
What's very interesting about this, Senator, is that, you know, the first few parts of your statement was actually what Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez said a while ago about the local companies, that they're repurposed, they have no capacity, and yet they went with a fully formed company with a paid-up capital of only 600,000 pesos, Senator.
Exactly. At paano naman sasabihin ng good secretary na walang capacity yung mga kumpanyang iyan? Aside from the ones that we've talked about already in EMS, the other companies in CONWEP and CPMP, I remember September last year, sinabi ko na sa publiko na there was this Bataan-based company called Medtex.
Yes,
it was capable of producing medical grade face masks at volume at if I remember correctly, meron din siyang sister company in their medtech group of companies na capable of producing PPE. So please, let them not add insult to injury. Huwag nilang ismulin ang capacity at ang kahandaan, ang kabukasan ng loob ng mga Pilipinong manufacturer at Pilipinong manggagawa to step up and produce the medical supplies na kailangan natin para iligtas ang buhay ng isa't isa. Hmm. So please, let them not add insult to injury. And ang injured sa kanila, hindi sarili nila, Carmina. It was government that injured the Filipino manufacturers and laborers.
And Senator, when you talk about that, it's not as if you're getting your info from thin air.
Exactly.
Mr. Ferrer was present during yesterday's hearing and sort of corroborated the fact that all of a sudden, they weren't being asked of any of their supplies anymore. Talk to us more about that.
And speaking of adding insult to injury, Carmina, it was on government's request at the beginning of the pandemic na nag-repurpose itong mga Pilipinong manufacturer na naghanda ang mga Pilipinong empleyado nila to produce different things from the clothes that some used to make, from the electronic goods that some used to make. Pati yung skill set nila, ni-repurpose nila to produce our pandemic supplies. Tapos kalaunan, in effect, nabitin sila sa ere. They were asked to repurpose and then the products they had repurposed to produce, hindi kinontrata sa kanila, nalugi talaga sila.
Hmm. Before we continue, I want to talk about Wang Tsuyen.
Yeah.
He was the president. Of course, he's the listed president. We go by name first.
Yes.
Wang Tsuyen is the listed president of Formerly Pharmaceuticals Corporation. A certain Wang Tsuyen appeared yesterday before the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee hearing. How certain are we that this is one and the same person?
Well, yun sana, if I had had my turn already yesterday to interpolate. Yun yung unang itatanong ko rin sa kanya. It was referred to also by our Blue Ribbon Chairman, Sendik, no, na for him to give proof of identity, could he prove siya talaga yung Wang Tsuyen na di lang hinahanap natin dito sa Pilipinas at sa Blue Ribbon, Carmina, hinahanap siya sa Taiwan. He is the subject of a standing warrant of arrest dating to December last year, which can easily be viewed. It's confirmed on the website of the Taiwan Ministry of Justice Investigation Bureau. When he appeared at our hearing yesterday, Carmina, sabi nung di umanong, no, Wang Tsuyen, if that was really him, this 31-year-old, very young, formerly chairman, sabi niya he was at his home in Singapore because he's a Singaporean resident, according to him. Nandun siya sa Marina Way. And kung nandun, mukhang nandun siya sa parehong compound ng Marina Bay Sands, which we've seen in some movie commercials when there were still cinemas open. That's a quite upscale neighborhood. Ha? So sabi ni Huang, sa news reports lang daw niya narinig na may warrant para sa kanya. Pero wala pa daw official communication ang Taiwanese government. He says he was only made aware of his arrest warrant in March this year. But of course, that's already half a year ago. Ha? He's actually been wanted since December 2020. At sabi ni Wang Tsuyen, if that was really him, di daw niya alam kung nasan yung kanyang ama, who is the other wanted person na Huang of Farmally. Sabi ni Wang Tsuyen, we've been estranged since early 2020. I haven't seen him. I'm worried, but he has disappeared. Of course, Carmina, as instructed by Chairman Dick, this Huang, if he's the real one, will reaffirm his oath to tell the truth. He will reaffirm it at the Philippine Embassy in Singapore. Pero yung dagdag pa na isang curious dito kay Wang Tsuyen, sinabi ni Attorney Kimbo na Director General ng Blue Ribbon Oversight Office Management na tungkol dun sa condo para sa mga workers ng Farmally, there is a certificate of no residency.
Right.
The certification says that they, yung Farmally, are not a resident anymore of that condo. So,
but he kept on insisting.
Yun na nga.
But he kept on insisting that they have a standing contract.
Continued misrepresentation, Carmina, it would appear, on the basis of the documents, ha? Hindi lang bukang bibig, documents submitted nung condominium na mukhang dati pa ay opisina ng Farmally Pharmaceutical in the Philippines.
Senator, conversely though, why would a certain person appear before the Senate if he's not that person in question? Why would he do that?
So we are actually just waiting for that document through the Philippine Embassy in Singapore na siya na nga talaga. And he must appear at the next hearing on Friday together with other wanted legally and wanted in terms of the Senate's interest, lalo na si Michael Yang and five other persons na dahil tulad ni Mr. Yang, paulit-ulit na dinededma ang imbitasyon, ang subpoena ng Blue Ribbon Committee. Yesterday, Carmina, I moved to cite Michael Wang in contempt of the Senate. And my colleagues moved to do the same for five other personalities, Darganis, and three other persons in contempt. At ang kasunod niyan, Carmina, aarest, pwede na silang issuehan ng warrant of arrest because they continuously didn't respond to the committee. Hindi pa rin sila pumupunta. Si Michael Yang, dalawang beses na sinamon previously. Ayon sa Bureau of Immigration, Mohit Dargani left the Philippines last August 18 and went to Dubai. There is another Dargani, a Twinkle Dargani, na sinight na rin in contempt, plus Justine Garrado, Lincoln Ong, at Chrisel Grace Mago.
Talking about Michael Yang, as you said also yesterday, there seems to be a deliberate attempt to really ignore the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee's invitation for him to appear before the said committee. But he has since expressed his willingness to cooperate. And that was sent through his lawyer, Attorney Raymond Fortun. When he does appear, though, before the Senate committee this Friday, what are the questions that you would ask Michael Yang?
Okay. We would ask Michael Yang to help us connect the dots, many curious dots that have been emerging and that we've been painstakingly trying to connect this whole story of Farmaly, or perhaps even beyond, as the Citizen Budget Tracker told us also. Tatanungin ko po kay Michael Yang, ano yung papel niya dito sa pagkakilala ng Farmaly? At ni Presidente, ano yung pagkakilala niya kay Zheng Bingchang? Because Michael Yang is the chairman, Carmina, of Full Wind Philippines, and the chairman of Full Wind International is this Zheng Bingchang, who is also, tulad nung mag-amang Huang, wanted for stock manipulation. And the father, Huang, is wanted actually for three offenses. They will have to face justice in Taiwan. Tatanungin ko rin kay Michael Yang, ano yung pagkakilala niya sa mag-amang Huang? Ano yung role nila sa Farmaly International at sa Farmaly Pharmaceuticals Philippines? And you know, to Mr. Yang, I believe can shed the most light among these personalities in addition to former Yusek Lau. Paano talaga nangyari na itong Farmaly na mukha talagang hindi karapat-dapat, Carmina, in terms of its financial in terms of its financial and project background, paano siya nakakuha nitong mga kontrata nito paulit-ulit mula nung nakaraang taon and even beyond December 2020 that those warrants were issued for Farmaly's officials into 2021. Mukhang may in-award pang iba at may napipintong i-award pa. I will ask Mr. Michael Yang to shed light on all this cast of characters, including the president, who apparently he has known since earlier than 2006, based on an article that came out in a Taiwan newspaper in 2016. Add to that the meeting of Farmaly officials with Michael Yang present in that video taped by the government television station, a courtesy call to the president in 2017 in Davao. Also an article dated to 2015 of a visit paid by the president to the Xiamen offices, Full Wind International offices of Zheng Bingchang, with Michael Yang accompanying him.
Senator, despite all that you said today and also the revelations in the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee, this is what President Duterte said earlier this morning. Basically, he's saying there's no corruption at all. And what is happening there at the Senate, you have prejudged the situation. There was even a point in his address this morning when he said, why don't you guys just write a report Kasi nahusgahan na naman daw sila. Hindi na kailangan nakausapin pa yung mga resource persons kasi hindi nyo rin naman daw sila pinagsasalita. First, your thoughts on that?
Wow. Kung basahin lang ni Presidente yung transcript of proceedings sa apat na pagdinigna ng Senate Blue Ribbon Committee, binigyan talaga ng panahon sumagot si dating DBM, PSDBM Yusek Lau. Binigyan din ng pagkakataon magsalita si Huang Tsuyen, if that was really him, when he appeared at the hearing yesterday, nga lang hindi pa siya nag-take ng oath sa Philippine Embassy. Paulit-ulit na iniimbita yung iba pang mga wanted persons, ika nga, wanted persons ng Senado. Si Michael Yang, na dating economic affairs advisor ni Presidente. Yung mag-amang Huang nga, si Mr. Zheng, and those four other persons, the Darganis and the three other persons connected to Pharmaly. Hmm. Sabi ni Presidente, nag-prejudge na ang Senado. Di ko alam sino nag-prejudge, Carmina. Hindi kami. Kasi over the past four hearings, and actually since last year that I first called government's attention to this mysterious, small, and yet apparently seemingly influential Pharmaly, until this year, until the four hearings so far of the Blue Ribbon Committee, aba, ang dami-dami na naming na-unearth na mga tanda talaga na nagmumuka talagang graft and corruption. Mga ebidensya, Carmina. Tanda rin ng gross negligence, aminado si dating Yusek Lau, na they failed, he failed to exercise due diligence. Ang dami ng red flags ng COA sa mga audit reports tungkol sa DOH at PSDBM. At yung sinasabi din ni San Frank na badges of fraud. Kaya sinabi nga nila ni na San Frank at Chairman Dick na kung may premeditated murder, baka ito ay premeditated plunder. So please, masyado nang tired yung sinasabing iyan ni Presidente na walang basehan yung aming pagdinig at dapat na naming itigil. Buti na lang hindi kami nakinig sa kanila kasi kung tumigil kami sa pagdinig, we would have been violating our own obligations under the Constitution to exercise a firm watch over the proper or improper use of government funds coming from the citizens.
Senator, though, we've seen Blue Ribbon Committee hearings and we've seen Blue Ribbon Committee hearings. You know what I'm saying. Yeah. How will this be different?
This will be different, Carmina, because the Blue Ribbon is positioned to put a stop to an ongoing crime. Mukhang at least mula nung nakaraang taon na hindi dapat na ina-awardan ng mga kontrata ang Pharmaly at sa halip pa ng mga dihamak na law-abiding na mga Pilipinong korporasyon at Pilipinong manggagawa na mas kaya at mas tamang maka-provide nitong mga produktong kinontrata pa sa Pharmaly. The Blue Ribbon is in a position to there's a legal term for that, but really to put a stop to an ongoing crime in terms of awarding contracts to persons na ang pinaka halos solong at pinaka kapital ay hindi lang laway nila pero yung pagiging malapit nila sa mahabang panahon sa mga matataas na opisyal ng ating gobyerno.
Okay, still on the government. I'm going to move on now to POGOs. Hmm. 1.36 billion pesos worth of debt.
Right.
Still haven't been collected. What's keeping PAGCOR from collecting the said debt?
Exactly. Matagal na itong finlag, Carmina, ng BIR mismo that POGO owes government and the Filipino people taxes to that magnitude in the billions. Kaya't nanawagan ako ulit sa PAGCOR, kolektahin nyo na yan. 1.3 billion pesos na iyan, pandagdag na yan sa ating COVID-19 response fund. And after that, I am sustaining my call to government to show POGOs the door. Sa kabila nung maagang pangako nila na they would bring in investments, what kind of investments are those? They would bring in revenues. Revenues, eh, tax evader na nga sila. On top of all that, eh grabe yung social cost ng POGOs dito sa ating Carmina, especially borne by our women and our children. So losing proposition ang POGOs, no matter how you look at it. There's POGO-related prostitution, illegal detention, pastilla scam, and now human trafficking to Syria and other countries of our women and minors, minor girls. These have been uncovered for over a year by the Senate Committee on Women. Talagang nag-case building ang NBI, the ombudsman suspended tens of them, but only, may I say, Carmina, only low-ranking, kumbaga foot soldiers for half a year without pay. Pero nako, sa kabila nung iniyabang ni Presidente sa kanilang huling SONA na fired na sila, no, sinungalingan mismo ni Justice Secretary Guevara, they are actually back to work. Hindi kapantay ng kalahating taong suspension lamang, Carmina, yung pimena na gawa nila, ginawa sa ating mga babae at bata. And certainly, we can't stop at the foot soldiers. We have to go after not just the mid-level ringleaders here, but the top masterminds and protectors.
Senator Inés Ontiveros, we're going to have to leave it at that. We appreciate you coming to the show today. Take care. Keep safe.
Take care. Stay healthy.
Thanks. Appreciate it. From there, we're going to take a break. Up ahead, we'll give you updates on the wrath of Tropical Storm Julina. Stay with us. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. We are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And here's another look at our headlines this noon. Philippine Senators Pangilo Lacson and Vicente Soto III officially launched their presidential and vice presidential bids. Later today, PDP Laban the Cusi faction expected to formally introduce President Rodrigo Duterte as their vice presidential candidate. Government takes back its lifting of the lockdown in Metro Manila. President Duterte again hits the Senate for probing his administration's allegedly anomalous pandemic deals. And after ravaging Visayas, severe tropical storm Julina dumps heavy rains on Luzon. Back with more news. Severe tropical storm Julina is currently ravaging parts of Luzon after leaving a path of destruction in the Visayas. In eastern Samar, heavy rains and winds swept away homes and floating cottages along the seaside town of General MacArthur. Local officials there are still assessing the full impact of the storm. In northern Samar, more than 1,000 passengers are stranded at different ports. In the town of Castilla in the province of Sorsogon, a car plunged into a river amid heavy rains. The driver was immediately rescued by locals there. Severe tropical storm Julina is also bringing torrential rains to various parts of Metro Manila. In Quezon City, portions of Araneta Avenue were impassable to small vehicles due to knee-deep floodwaters. The continuous downpour also triggered floods in Caloocan and in Malabon. In Valenzuela City, the local government announced today's vaccination schedule has been canceled. Classes have also been called off in parts of Metro Manila and other areas in Luzon. Severe tropical storm Julina maintains its strength after it made landfall over San Juan in Batangas. Heavy rainfall warnings are up over several areas. Let's get more details now from PAGASA weather forecaster Joey Figuracion. Joey, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Carmina. Severe tropical storm Julina has made 8 landfalls, and the recent was over San Juan, Batangas, 9 earlier today. Julina has maximum sustained winds of 95 kilometers per hour near the center and gusts reaching up to 115 kilometers per hour. Julina is moving west-northwestward at a speed of 15 kilometers per hour. Tropical cyclone wind signal number 2 still hoisted over Metro Manila, Calabarzon, northern part of Bimaropa, parts of Central Luzon. Damaging winds from Julina may cause damage to structure made of light materials and expect heavy to torrential rains over these areas. Sea travel is risky due to big waves over the sea thoroughfares of Metro Manila, Central Luzon, Southern Luzon, and even in the inner seas of Visayas. If Jelena persists, its behavior is expected to exceed our area of responsibility by tomorrow evening or Friday early morning. Meanwhile, we're monitoring another tropical cyclone inside our area of responsibility, which a local name, Kiko. Kiko is approaching east of northern Luzon and it has intensified further, but still in a typhoon category this 11 a.m. or earlier today, with maximum sustained winds of 155 kilometers per hour and gustiness of up to 150 kilometers per hour. Kiko is moving west-southwestward at speed of 20 kilometers per hour. Hoisting of initial tropical cyclone wind signals are possible due to this inclement weather system. The earliest is tonight or early morning tomorrow. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Joey Figuration there joining us on the line to you and the rest of the team there. Thanks for all that you do. Moving on to world news now. A powerful quake strikes central Mexico, triggering rock falls and landslides. The U.S. Geological Survey says the magnitude 7.4 tremor struck near the port city of Acapulco. A tsunami warning has been issued by the U.S. There are no immediate reports of casualties or serious damage, but some neighborhoods were left without power. In business, the White House says it's up to the United States or to U.S. states to decide on the extension of the enhanced unemployment benefits after a program boosting payments during the pandemic expired. Here's the full story.
As enhanced unemployment benefits dry up, the White House said local officials who want to extend them can do so. This comes a day after the administration and U.S. Congress allowed a program to lapse which had boosted payments during the COVID-19 pandemic, providing up to $300 extra a week to millions of people who lost their jobs. The funding for extra jobless benefits had been provided as an economic stimulus measure in a series of bills following the COVID-19 pandemic, including the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan passed in March by President Joe Biden and his fellow Democrats. The administration never pushed for a nationwide extension. Republicans opposed the benefits, saying they would discourage work at a time when a record 10.1 million job openings were available as of the end of June. Many governors cut off the extra payments in their states. Still, there was little direct evidence the payments were the primary factor pushing people out of the labor force. The White House is now leaving the choice up to the states and said it will work with them to access other funding from the stimulus bill or other sources if they want to expand unemployment benefits.
Here at home, a local labor group, Kilusang Mayo Uno, files a complaint before the International Labor Organization against the Philippine government over its alleged role in the killings and harassment of workers. KMU accused government of violating the freedom of association and the right to organize and collective bargaining. It cited the killings of dozens of workers since Duterte took office in 2016, the red tagging of labor leaders, and the intimidation by anti-insurgency task force. The group also mentioned the Bloody Sunday massacre back in March, which saw the killings of 9 activists. KMU is asking the ILO to send an independent team to the Philippines to conduct its own investigation. But for the Labor Department, the complaint is merely based on rehashed allegations that have already been addressed. On to some sports action now. Filipino-Canadian Leila Fernandez continues her Cinderella run at the U.S. Open. The day after turning 19 years old, Fernandez reached her first ever Grand Slam semifinal by beating number 5 seed Elina Svitolina. The 73rd ranked Fernandez has become the tournament's biggest surprise following wins over former U.S. Open champions Naomi Osaka and Angelique Kerber. Fernandez will next face second seeded Aryna Sabalenka in the Final Four. Right, going back to one of our top stories today, more details have emerged on the allegedly anomalous pandemic spending of the government, particularly the over 8 billion pesos worth of contracts granted to Farmily Pharmaceuticals. What do the revelations at the Senate probe say about this administration's pandemic response? Joining us now, former Health Secretary Esperanza Cabral. Dr. Cabral, good afternoon to you and thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good afternoon, Tamina.
All right. So you've been following the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee hearings quite closely. What to you at this point is the most glaring revelation so far?
Well, I am very disappointed that all of this money available for the COVID response has not been used properly. And it is a very dismaying kind of situation, really.
Why do you say it's dismaying? Why is it bothersome?
Because just on the matter of equipment for health workers, at the start of the pandemic, supply coming from government at all. So private sector has to step in. And the supply of PPE from government arrived in the only sometime in August and September. This is all 6 months into the pandemic. And even then, the supply has not been adequate up to now. So all this money that could have been used for protection were not used for me. And that is really bad. Anyway, about response to the COVID pandemic of our government.
Dr. Cabral, if I could also ask you to maybe shift your location a bit because your audio is coming in choppy, but I will continue on with the next question. You know, this hearing has been going on for weeks now. The next hearing is going to be this Friday, but still not a lot of people are tuning in. Why should people tune in and really monitor these hearings?
I think all of us should be aware of what is happening or what has happened. And this is going to affect the way we think about this government and about the way we vote during election time next year. So it is important for us to know and to be aware of everything that has happened, make our judgment, and act accordingly.
In his address, recorded address this morning, President Rodrigo Duterte defended his administration but attacked the Senate at the same time. He says there's no corruption at all and that they have been prejudged. What are your thoughts on that, Dr. Cabral?
That is the reason why the investigations are being conducted, for us to be able to know what competence went into the COVID response and whether it has been responded to with integrity and honesty or vice versa.
He says, though, in many instances that this is pointing to just politicking. Is this politicking with the way you've been monitoring it? Do you get a sense that this is nothing but politicking on the part of the senators, Dr. Cabral?
Not at all. There have been very many instances in the past when I thought that the Senate investigations shown on television had more politicking than substance, but not this time.
Why do you say so?
Because now it is not just the revelations of the senators that are coming to fore. There are documents that tell us what actually went on. And these are the documents and these are the information that we are getting about how the money that should have been spent properly on the personal protective equipment for the health workers have been done.
Beyond the issue of alleged corruption, though, Dr. Cabral, what is the bigger picture for you here? What is the bigger issue?
The bigger issue is our governance and leadership.
What about it?
That we need better leaders. We need better governance so that we can get through this pandemic in the best way possible. Every life lost that was incompetence or dishonesty and graft is a loss not just to that particular person or his family, but to the nation.
We're going to have to leave it at that. We've run out of time. Dr. Esperanza Cabral, their former Secretary of the Health Department, we appreciate you coming to the show. It's raining outside. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you very much. You too.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.